Well, I like that, don't you? I'm glad he lives today. And I'm glad he lives within our hearts. Now, if you'll open your Bibles to the book of 2 Kings and chapter 6. There is an unusual story in 2 Kings chapter 6. In fact, the Bible is an unusual book. It's the book of God. It's the only book in all the world that tells it like it is. The Bible, the Word of God. 2 Kings chapter 6. I shall begin reading at verse 1. But first, I want you to pause with me in just a moment of prayer. Our Father, again, we are thankful for Thy wonderful and precious Word, and for the church, and for this people, members and visitors alike. Now we pray that as Thy precious Word is opened, that our hearts would be open to receive it, and that we might be moved today toward those newer heights and more fertile plains and richer pasture lands and sparkling waters to quench our spiritual thirst. And for those who need Thee and who need the church, may they discover today a new depth and a new dimension for their lives. In Jesus' name we ask it, and for Jesus' sake, and with thanksgiving. Amen. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too straight, too narrow, too short, too small, doesn't have enough pews for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. And he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, that is, cutting down a tree, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick. Now this is amazing. And cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore, said he, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it up. Isn't that a beautiful story? Isn't that an amazing thing? Doesn't that turn something over in your heart? Here is the account of the sons of the prophets who came to Elisha, the man of God. And I am glad that in every age, God has his man on the scene. The man of God was Elisha, the prophet. And the sons of the prophets came to him and said, Master, our auditorium is no longer big enough. The place where we meet is altogether too straight. It is too small. We want to enlarge. Now, my message to you this morning is entitled, Enlarging the Place of Our Worship, the Church of Jesus Christ. Thank God for the Church of Jesus Christ. There is no other organism in all the world like the church. And there is no substitute for the church. There are good organizations in the world today, but there is no organization in all the wide world that can be substituted for the church. When Jesus died, He died for the church. When Jesus sent the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit, He sent the Holy Spirit to the church. When Jesus gave a commission that His gospel be preached in all the oikoumene, the whole world, He gave that charge, that commission, to the church. When He wrote the seven letters, He wrote them to the church. And I can hardly wait for this one. When He comes again in rapturous glory, His saints to receive, He's coming for His church. For there is one body, and one hope, and one Spirit, and one Lord, and one faith, and one baptism, and one God who is Father of us all. I love the church for which Jesus died today. And I'm speaking to you this morning about enlarging the place of our worship. And worship is so vital. It is so important. It is just as important for you to feed your soul as it is for you to feed your body. Jesus said, man cannot live by bread alone, but man shall live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I know that you know that there is no substitute for worship. I read in Psalm 122 and verse 1, I was glad. I was made happy. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Teddy Roosevelt once said, you can worship God any place, at any time. But chances are you will not do so unless beforehand you choose a particular place and a particular time. I think that's what Paul meant in Hebrews 10:25 when he said, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, and all the more as you see the day approaching. What day? The day of our Lord's return. It is nearer than we think. Oh, Lord Jesus, how long it will shout the glad song. Christ returneth, hallelujah. Hallelujah, amen. Oh, joy, oh, delight, should we go without dying? No sickness, no sadness, no dread, and no crying. Caught up through the clouds with our Lord into glory when Jesus receives His own. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, And all the more you should do it since the day is approaching. Worship. I read again in the book of Psalms, chapter 29 and verse 2. Let us worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Worship is a beautiful thing. It's like rain to a parching ground. It's like food to a hungry stomach. It's like vision to a blind man. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down, the psalmist says in the 95th Psalm at verse 5. Oh, come and let us worship and let us bow down. Let us kneel before God our Maker. You see, what worship does, it replenishes the resources of spiritual things. Now, you know and I know that you can't keep on writing checks if you don't put some money in the bank. Those folks at the bank, they're so nice. They write to you. They come to see you if you don't go see them. And you cannot keep on writing checks unless you put some money in the bank, make a deposit. Because before long, they're going to send back a little notice that says, insufficient funds. And I say this with a broken heart this morning. There are a lot of members of Worth Baptist Church who have spiritually, in their reserve of spiritual things, they've got a little ticket from God that says, insufficient funds. We replenish that source only as we worship. So I say to you, we must recognize that the place of our worship must be adequate. The ushers say to me almost every week, preacher, we've got to do something about some more room. And we are doing it. And I like it. And I think that's the way it ought to be. For we must recognize that our place of worship is getting too small. Secondly, we must be willing to engage in the work of enlargement. We must be willing individually to engage in the work of enlargement. I read in Isaiah 54 and verse 2, enlarge the place of thy tent and let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitation. Enlarge the place of thy tent. Did I not read here in this text that the place was too small? And the sons of the prophets came to their leader, their prophet of God, their man of God, and said, this place is too small. And before Elisha could say, let's knock down the walls and go out and bring them in, they said, let every man take a beam. May I say to every member of Worth Baptist Church, there is a beam for you to cut down. There is a work for you to do. There is a part, a blessed part, a sacred part for you to have in the enlargement of this auditorium. The shingles are already loaded on the roof. The walls are already knocked out. And you and I must be willing this morning to take a beam and build and enlarge the place of our tent for the honor and for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know the story of Gideon and his 300? I'm going to tell you this morning what the secret of their victory was when 300 men fought against an unnumbered army. Here it is. In the book of Judges, chapter 7 and verse 21. Here it is. Listen. Every man stood in his own place. That's the secret. Every member of Worth Baptist standing in your place will complete the enlargement that's begun. Let every man take a beam. I understand that the motto of the French Foreign Legion is this: if I falter, push me on. If I stumble, pick me up. If I retreat, shoot me down. I think that's good. If I falter, and you and I will falter, push me on. If I stumble, and you and I will stumble, pick me up. If I am a coward and I retreat, and there's no place in God's business for cowards, shoot me down. Every man stood in his own place. Let us every man take a beam. There's a beam for you to lift to make this enlargement what it ought to be. I am told that at the foot of the Alps mountain, a noted climber is buried, and the inscription on his tomb reads like this. Three words: he died climbing. He died climbing. Wouldn't that be a good epitaph for the grave and head marker of every Christian, if death should come before the Lord does and reach his slimy paw into your home and mine and take us out? Wouldn't it be a good thing if somebody could write across our tombstone, "He died climbing"? Climbing to newer heights with God on a new and higher spiritual plane. We must be willing to do the work of enlargement, each of us individually, and all of us collectively. Then there's something else that we must recognize. We must recognize that our power comes from another source. Our power to serve, to cut down the beam, to build the church, comes from another source. Here was the young son of the prophet, whittling away, swinging that axe at the base of that tree. And all of a sudden, the head of the axe falls into the Jordan River. He went to Elisha and he said, "Master, I've lost my axe head. And alas, Master, it is borrowed." What does that axe head represent? It represents power to get the job done. There's many a Christian in the world today. There are members of Worth Baptist Church that are swinging an axe handle. The head's gone. The power is gone. And alas, Master, the axe head is borrowed. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. It is not in our strength, but in his strength. It is not through our power, but in his power. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 40 and verse 29, he giveth power to the faint. In 2 Corinthians 12:10, the apostle Paul said, "When I am weak, then I am strong." What on earth is Paul talking about? Is he a madman? No. He simply meant this. When he recognized his own weakness, and by faith appropriated the power of God in his life, he discovered that the weaker he was, the stronger he was, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Alas, Master, it is borrowed. Our power comes from on high. Jesus said, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you. If we are working in the energy of the flesh, we are working in vain. If we enlarge this church, if we add Sunday school rooms and auditorium space in our own energy and in the energy of the flesh, we do so in vain. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And beloved, the time has come when we must enlarge the place of our worship. And we must have the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said to his disciples before he went away from them, in the Gospel according to Luke chapter 24, hear these words. Jesus said, ye shall receive power. Jesus said, tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem. But Master, all of Judea needs the gospel. But tarry ye in Jerusalem. But Master, men are dying. But tarry ye in Jerusalem. But Master, all the world needs the gospel. But you tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power. In other words, Jesus is saying it is better for you not to go unless you go under the anointing and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Tarry ye in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power. You know what we as members of Worth Baptist Church need today? We need to go back to the upper room. We need to tarry until the power of God falls on us. Well, somebody says that sounds like holiness. It is. It's Bible holiness. It is Baptist doctrine too. You know what makes a man a Baptist? Believing the word of God. Tarry ye in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power. Not from an organization, not from a headquarters, not from an administration, but from on high. Lord, send the old time power. The Pentecostal power. That's what we need today. Power from on high. A few years ago, there appeared in Life magazine an unusual picture. Some of you will remember it. There was a picture of a straw that had been driven through a telephone pole in one of the tornadoes somewhere in the Midwest. A straw had been driven through a telephone pole. But how on earth could such a thing be? I'll tell you. That straw was totally surrendered to the winds of the tornado and accomplished what otherwise would have been impossible. You could stand out there and try to drive a straw through a telephone pole until you are weak and exhausted and dropped dead. And you couldn't do it because the straw would not be totally surrendered to your power. But because that straw was totally surrendered to the power of the wind, it went through the telephone pole. And I'm saying to you today that if you and I are totally surrendered to the power of God's wind, God's Spirit, we can accomplish what otherwise would be impossible. We must recognize that our power is from another source. Enlarging the place of our worship. There's something else that we must recognize, and here it is. We must recognize that our God is still a God of miracles. You know that in the story of the axe. The axe head fell off and into the water. And old Elisha cut down a little limb and they laid it on the water, and immediately the axe began to swim. Not one concern of ours is too small if we belong to Him. To teach us this great lesson, the Lord of all made the axe head to swim. Oh, but you say, preacher, you don't really believe the axe head swim, do you? I sure do. You know why I believe it? There was a time when my old heart was heavier than the axe head and laden with sin. And God made my heart to swim heavenward. And it's still swimming. And it's still swimming. And it shall continue to swim till Jesus comes again. Yes, I believe He made the axe head to swim. Because He is a God of miracle and might and power. The only thing that limits God in 1971 is your faith and mine. That's all. Let me give you a replay on that instant. Slow motion. The only thing that limits the power of God in 1971 is your faith and mine. God has not changed. His power is not relinquished, nor has it diminished. The same God that opened the Red Sea, the same God that opened the Jordan River, the same God that sent the manna from heaven is alive today. And He's a God of miracles. Where did they go to get the axe head? They went right to the place where it fell off. Beloved, let me say something to you this morning. You can come back. You can come back to the place where you lost your grip on God, where you lost the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, and you can get that power back. The axe head is there. If you'll come back to that place this morning, God will cause the axe head of power to swim in your direction. And like the son of the prophet, you can reach out and get it. Then you can cut down some more beams. We can enlarge our building. We can win souls to Christ. Because our God is still a God of miracles. If you're here this morning lost and without Christ, make room for Jesus in your heart. Enlarge the walls of your heart to include a place for Him. If you're here this morning as a Christian, as a child of God, I beseech you as God's man for this hour at this particular place, enlarge the compartments of your life. Enlarge the compartments of your life. Add a little love. Add some faith. Add some labor for Christ. Enlarge the place of your life and your Christian living. The two go hand in hand. As our lives are enlarged spiritually, our church will be enlarged. If you're here this morning and you're seeking a church home, I can't guarantee you that Worth Baptist Church is a perfect church, because it isn't. Number one, it's got an imperfect pastor. And number two, it's got imperfect people. But there's one thing under God that I can assure you of, that if you join this church, you will always be given the Word of God. And that's what it's all about. So, our enlargement is for you this morning. Outside the confines of the church. It's for you this morning, Christian, whose axe head has fallen in the water. And the waters of doubt, and the waters of fear, and the waters of pleasure, and the waters of lukewarmness and laziness, and all of these things have washed away the power. You can go right back to the place where you got it. It'll still be there. Enlarging the place of our worship. Let's stand for our prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee this morning for the gospel of Jesus. We thank Thee that Thou hast put us in this place, and we are here to enlarge and build and develop and grow and win the lost to Christ and send the gospel around the world in our missionary endeavor. And Heavenly Father, I pray for that man who's without Christ this morning. He's heard the gospel. Don't let him say no again today. But may he come and find the enlargement of heart to let Jesus in. For those who need to come and enlarge the compartments of their lives and add a few spaces for love and fellowship and communion and worship and service and soul winning, may they come and get that enlargement in their own lives. For those who are seeking a church home and a place to serve, may they come this morning and join hands and hearts with us to reach the lost for Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. While our heads are bowed, in a moment the choir will sing a stanza two of the invitation hymn. And in the congregation, I want to ask you to please remain with your heads bowed in prayer. And while the choir in a moment offers a stanza of invitation hymn, let me make this appeal. If you are here today without Christ, come and trust Him. Make room. Make room for Jesus in your heart. About 5 years ago, in the month of February, a young man sat in this auditorium with his wife 4 or 5 or 6 Sundays. And his wife said to me after the tragic ending of his life, "Pastor, he intended fully. He intended fully to be saved. But as far as I know, he never was. He sat right out there where some of you are sitting today. On the last Sunday that he was here was the Sunday before anniversary, 4 or 5 years ago. That Tuesday, he took his own life. His wife said in trembling words, "Pastor, he intended to make that decision. I want you to come this morning without Christ." If you're here and you feel the axe head of your power has slipped, as a Christian, I want you to come and put your hand in mine and say, "Pastor, I want that power. I want that anointing. I want the Holy Spirit in my life that I might join in helping enlarge and win the lost to Jesus." You're out there this morning and you'd like to become a member of Worth Baptist by letter from another Baptist church, or by baptism, or on your statement of having been saved and baptized under the auspices of a Baptist church. While the choir sings the first stanza, I want you to come if God speaks to your heart, whatever the need is. Come on right now.